Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your words. As we continue our Advent journey, may they bring us understanding of what Christmas is all about, and may they help us to prepare the way. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Have you ever thought that we have to make too many choices in life? Think about that. Think about that with this story from the former British Prime Minister, Herbert Asquith. One time, Prime Minister Asquith had spent a long weekend at the Waddington estate of the 19th century Rothschild family. And one day, as Asquith was being waited on at tea time by the butler, the following conversation ensued. "Tea, coffee, or a peach from the wall, sir?" "Tea, please," answered Asquith. "China, India, or Ceylon?" asked the butler. "China, please." "Lemon, milk, or cream, sir?" "Milk, please," replied Asquith. "Jersey, Hereford, or Shorthorn, sir?" asked the butler. That's a humorous look at the fact that life is made up of one decision after another. Now, some decisions are fairly easy, such as, "Shall I get out of bed this morning?" But others are a little more difficult. Such as, "What restaurant are we going to eat at tonight?" Now, my wife and I, we go around that question a lot. One of us will say, "Let's go out to eat. There's nothing in the fridge." And then one of us will say, "Okay, but you make the decision." Because neither one of us wants to make that decision. Life is difficult with the choices we have to make sometimes. Believe it or not, our passage from Philippians is about choices in a roundabout way. We heard, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, some of you may be saying, "Tom, that says nothing about choices." And my response would be, context is everything. When Paul wrote these words, he was in prison. And when we think of people in prison, we don't think about people saying, "Rejoice, be happy." When we think about people in prison, we imagine them being upset, unhappy, depressed, angry, not liking their situation at all. And yet, here is Paul rejoicing, not worrying about anything, giving thanks to God. In chapter 1, verses 7 to 8, we read, "It is right for me to think about all of you because you hold me in your heart, for all you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with compassion of Christ Jesus." He's being happy for people who have reached out to him in his difficult time. He's rejoicing in God. He's made a choice. He's made a choice to be thankful for what God has done for him and for what God has done for and with others. Reverend Dr. Douglas Oldenburg, he was a former moderator of the Presbyterian Church USA and past president of Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia. And he writes about this. "You see, we are not always free to determine what happens to us. But we are relatively free to choose how we will respond to whatever happens. Or as someone else has said, we cannot revoke what has happened at the level of the event. But we can rework it at the level of significance. And that choice, how we respond to whatever happens, makes all the difference in the world. Paul has made a choice. He's in prison. But his spirit is still free. And God is still with him. And that is everything that matters. But when Barbara and I last month took a 3-day jaunt up the Hudson River Valley, we stopped in Hyde Park and went to several of the Roosevelt places that you can tour. One of them was Eleanor Roosevelt's cottage called Valkill. And she was an amazing woman. And among the things that she shared was this thought, one's philosophy is not best expressed in words, but it's expressed in the choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die. And the choices we make are ultimately our responsibility. And using this idea, there is the sense that the depth of one's faith is measured not by what we say and speak to others, but is measured in the choices that we make. So as we inch closer to the celebration of Christmas, we have choices we can make. We can just let the season happen and be passive about it. Whatever happens, happens. You know, if I get invited to these parties, hey, I'll go. And so on. And I think a lot of people make that choice this time of the year. We can make the choice to set some time aside during the journey to reflect on what Christmas is all about, the birth of Jesus and what it means for us, and how we will let that affect our celebration of Christmas. Now, you know, that's a choice that I often advocate for. We can make the choice that we will dwell on memories of Christmases past and people who are no longer with us. In a way that makes us sad. Or we can make the choice that we will remember those Christmases and the people who were part of them and who aren't with us anymore and give thanks to God for that we have those memories and those events to think back on and for what they meant to us at the time and celebrate them and be free to make new memories in the present for the future. Last week, I decorated our house. Now, most of you know I like to decorate for Christmas. And every year, I try to think of new ways to decorate. But I often end up doing the same old thing. Wreath on the door, roping around the door with bows and everything, or a fruit fan above the door. Christmas tree goes in this corner, or do this over the fireplace. And as I'm doing it, I'm thinking about my mom. Because when I got older and was still at home, she began saying, "We're in a rut how we celebrate Christmas. We did the same things every year." Now, I remember when I was little, my parents tried to do something different decorating-wise. And I look back on some of those and I go, oh. I remember the little things about this tall. It had a little pot that had silver and green stripes around it. And it had a lead weight in it with a dowel rod coming up about this high with silver and green stripes. And these aren't dark green, these are lightish green. And at the top was this styrofoam ball about this big, painted in green, with all these little silver and green balls stuck around it and glued to it. My mom said it was the Della Robbia Christmas gift or whatever. I remember another Christmas where they hung strips of felt in varying degrees in an opening between the kitchen and the living room, and they had balls, green balls on the end of it. So that one wasn't too bad. So they tried and they had fun doing that. But then we got in a rut and we just started doing the same thing every year. But you know what? I think about it. And I think about the fact, yeah, I want to do different things. I had this idea of putting this big star up by our attic window in the front of the house with strings of light coming down to the ground, the kind that move, the lights move down to the tree, and things like that. But it just never gets done. But you know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the memories that I have of when we did decorate, even though it was the same thing every year. And I'm grateful for the people that I decorated with, my parents and my brother. At Christmas, we remember God's gift to humanity and the indwelling of God with humanity in the life of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And it's a wonderful gift of grace that we're given. We can make the choice to accept the gift of not only grace, but the gift of life itself. Think about it. None of us asked to be born. It was, and it is a gift. And every day we wake up is a gift. I'm mindful of there are some people, there are some in this sanctuary, but also others outside the church. Generally they're older. And I say, "How are you today?" And they look at me with this big smile on their face and they say, "Every time I wake up on this side of the grass, it's a good day." And because of this, thinking like that, we can make the choice that we will enjoy the gift as much as we possibly can. Mindful of those whose lives were cut off from us way too early, perhaps even. But you know, the gift wasn't we even had them for a short period of time. And we have those memories with them. I think it's interesting that this day in Advent, as you heard during the lighting of the candle, is called Joy Sunday. And we lit the joy candle, the pink candle. And every year on this Sunday, there's an added reading from Luke. And I don't always include it, like I did this year. But it's the reading of the Magnificat of Mary. Now I want you to listen just to the beginning of the Magnificat. And remember, context is everything. This is being shared by a young girl, approximately 13 years old, after she was told that she would bear a son out of earthly wedlock, for which she could be stoned or at the very least cast out, which Joseph planned on doing in Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18. But an angel said, "No, don't. Take her as your wife." Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Mary made the choice to enjoy the good news that she had received. We've all been given the good news that in Christ the Spirit of God has come into the world. Will we let it guide us in our choices? Guide us in choices that celebrate the lives that we've been given. Our choices are not Jersey, Hereford, or Shorthorn. were a farmer who raised cattle, they might be, but no, it's not. And yes, life can be hard, it can be difficult, and to a certain degree, it is out of our control. And we can let that drive our spirits down, or we can be thankful for all that we do have and all that we have been given over the years. That's the basic choice that we all have. What choice will we make? Amen.